All right, now's the time for me to introduce to you our guest speaker. This is I'm going to actually ask you to stand up and give him a little standing ovation, if you would. This is Roy Hall. We got to listen first, then stand and clap. This is Roy Hall. Roy's a part of the 2002 National Championship team for the Ohio State Buckeyes. He also went on to play in the NFL with primarily the Colts had a great career there. He's the founder and president of the Driven organization, which you'll hear more about that today as well. So give him a big hand, if you would, as he comes up. One rule is I want no pictures of Roy and I standing together. All right, that's the one rule. All right, absolutely. You got it.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it, and thank you all for the standing ovation. I got one, you know, just now, so I might as well just stop talking. If I sit down, that means I was a good speaker and got a standing O, right? Thank you so much, Pastor, for allowing me to be here, and I was here last night. And I do not take for granted opportunities like this. I love the fact that I played for Ohio State. I love the fact that I was able to make my dreams come true and be in the NFL and play with the likes of Peyton Manning and Marvin Harrison and some great players in the NFL. But this is where it's at right now. This is my purpose. This is your purpose as well, to be able to be a walking testimony, a walking witness for our Lord Jesus Christ. And it doesn't really matter what you do for a living. It doesn't matter how much money you have. It doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter how young you are. It doesn't matter if you're black or you're white, if you're a male or a female. God doesn't see any of that. He sees your heart. And he sees your love and passion for his purposes. And so today, I'm going to introduce you to a few different things. And hopefully it's something that the Lord says to you that'll touch your heart and make you go a different way about living your life in certain areas. But I would not have this opportunity if it was not for the likes of your pastor and his surrounding team of leaders as well. Pastor Pound has done a great job building this church, leading this church, raising up other leaders as well. I always want to take a moment to recognize the leader of the flock, the shepherd, so to speak, the one that's taking care of your needs, praying for you daily, carrying the burdens of your issues and your problems and your challenges and difficulties. Lies in this man and his ability to be able to lean on his leadership, likes of Pastor Gary and people that have allowed me and brought me here and forged relationships with me. That's so very important that you understand the ministry gift that you have in this man and his leaders around him. It's not so much, well, he's just a pastor and he preaches and we can get anybody up here to do it, but God has sent this man to you to give you exactly what you need, exactly when you need it. But you have to connect. You have to connect to his heart. Don't get so caught up in what he's saying or how long the sermon went or it didn't move me today. Every time that he opens his mouth, God is speaking to you. And if he's not speaking to you directly for that situation, it's something that you may come across later in your future. Or it may be somebody sitting next to you or a family member that needs the message that you got from your pastor in church. But as soon as you turn off and put on your little headphones and say, this is not for me today. Church really didn't inspire me today. You have completely shut off what God is trying to do in your life and in another person's life connected to you. See, it's supposed to flow down. It's a flow. It starts at the top. He's spending time in prayer. He prays more than everybody in this room. Why? Because he's leading his church. He has to. He spends more time with God than anybody in this church does. He hears directly from the Father. And he comes and gives you a message. And then you're supposed to take that message, absorb it, put it on your tool belt, and use it when necessary. And as soon as you say today is not for me, or yes, last week was better than this week, or I like hearing other people speak, you have completely shut off that connection with the Father because it has to go through a person. How do you think we got the word of God here? God spoke it, but it took some men to write it. So you need people leading you in your life. And I am so thankful and grateful for this man allowing me to be here. I don't have to know his middle name. I don't have to know what his shoe size is. I don't really care that he's a foot shorter than I am, right? Doesn't matter. Maybe 16 inches, right? None of that matters. None of it matters at all. Because at the end of the day, we're connected by the Spirit. So I don't have to grow up with him. I don't have to be here every day. But as long as we can connect in the Spirit, we can get the job done. We're brothers, right? We're brothers. Now, in the natural... Natural, I'm his first black brother, but, well, not true, he said. maybe true. Today I am. I look around, I don't really see too many of my people, so, you know. I'm thankful we're all in the spirit of Christ because, like I said last night, I got a memo, a text message. It was on my calendar, and they're telling me exactly what I was going to do. And I told this last night that they told me that the demographic in this church was 50-50 white to black. And you would be real comfortable, Roy, if you came down here. And as I look out, the black population in this church just increased tenfold since I've been here. I'm the only one. Anyway. It's a lot of fun. As you can see, I like flowing and just, I'm open. I'm an open spirit. And but anyway, I just wanted to thank you, Pastor, for allowing me to be here. It's absolutely awesome to be in this pulpit, to be on this platform and share the word of God. All right, now I would like to just pray for us briefly, get a pregame pep talk, so to speak, and let's go into the word, dive into the word of God. If you could bow your heads. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for today, Father. None of us take today for granted, Lord. It's interesting, Lord, we come before you asking for so many things, and sometimes we don't know why we're here and what our purpose is, but apparently you want to use us, Father. That's why we're still here. There's no other reason for us to be here if you don't have something for us to do. Not the things that we want to do, Father, but the things that you want to do through us, Father God. So allow today's message, allow today's word to speak to our hearts, to speak to that department and compartment in our hearts, that's following you, Father, that wants to do your will, Father, not what we want to do, Father. We want to do what you want us to do, to be an extension of the kingdom, to take the kingdom further than it would have been if I was not here, Father. So use us, bring forth all of our gifts, Father. Use me today, Lord. Use me this morning to speak to these people's hearts. Allow them to see you through me, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Fantastic. Now, I looked over here and saw this football. And when I saw it, I was like, man, I did play for Ohio State. I forgot about that. So I would be remiss if I didn't say this. OH! OH! Now, I know it's early in the morning. I know it's early in the morning, but it's not every day in church you get to do that together. So let's do it one more time and let the people in the little kids in Journeyland hear us. All right? OH! Fantastic. That's what I'm talking. Unity. Unity. I know I heard it, so a couple people didn't say it. You know, they must be Michigan fans. I don't know what's going on. Oregon fans, Bama fans. It really doesn't matter. We beat everybody this year anyway. It really doesn't matter what fans you are, right? It doesn't matter what fans you are. I had a great, great time, obviously, playing at Ohio State. I was there from 02 to 06 and won a national title in 2002. And I think we won 3 Big Ten titles while I was there. Played in another in 2006, and we lost to Coach Meyer when he was on the bad side with those Florida Gators in 2006. But I now have an opportunity to minister to the team, to connect with the team spiritually. I get an opportunity to share with them on pretty much most every Friday nights and or a Sunday morning before we do a team meeting. And I get to share the Word of God with them. And it's not just a few select people, 15 or 16 people. It's the entire football team. All right, it's mandatory, but it's not really. It's mandatory and optional. You find out in college sports, if they tell you to be somewhere, you probably should be there, even if they say it's optional, all right? You just don't want to miss. So even the people that don't want to get exposed to the Word of God have to at least sit there and get the message, and get the message. Now, he doesn't make people come. In 2 years or 3 years that I've been doing that, you know, there's been a couple, you know, whether it was someone of the Muslim faith or whatever, that come in and say, well, this may not be for me, but eventually they straggle in. And that's where me being a former Buckeye comes in, because now they know that I sat in those same seats. So now they're connecting with me from a Buckeye perspective. And they're like, oh, it's Roy speaking. So since it's Roy talking and we played together or he was here, I'm willing to sit and listen to the message of God. And so I say that to say that all you all have that same influence on the people around you. There are a ton of non-believers around you every single day. If you have a job, if you shop at the grocery store, there are non-believers everywhere. And it's our job to use whatever respective position we're in to show them how good our God is, to show them how beautiful the love of Christ is, and to show them that no matter what they do from a work standpoint, that is not going to get them good with the Father. It's not going to happen. It's going to happen through His Son, all right, in that relationship. What better person to share the love of Jesus Christ with a stranger than you? What better way to get somebody to know our Lord and Savior the person next to you in the cubicle, what when they're crying or when they're down, what better way to get them to the Father and to know that God had gave you that job? He gave you that position. He gave you that role as a manager or as a secretary just so he could introduce you to the person that he wanted to get into the kingdom. You. That's what it's about. So that's what my journey at Ohio State was about. That's when I met the Lord. That's when I was saved. That's when I understood what I was called to do at Ohio State. Yes, I won a Big Ten title and as a part of a team. Well, I didn't really win it. We won it as a team. And all those things are great. Those are great statistics and all that. But the thing that I'm most proud of is the person that took the time to hunt me down. Really, it was a hunt because I ducked and dodged him for so long. His name's Tom Rohde. He works with Athletes in Action. And he hunted me down for about 6 months. And I finally sat down with him. And he began to minister to me. But it didn't start with scripture. He just wanted to know about my family. He just wanted to know what I liked. He just started to build a relationship with me based on the things that I wanted to talk about. And when that opening was there, he hit it. And he ministered to me. And over the course of a few months or so, I received Jesus as my Lord and Savior and got saved on the 50-yard line of our practice facility. Right? How awesome is that? Right? But there's always an opening. I played with the greatest return man in Ohio State history in Ted Ginn Jr., good friend of mine. And in having conversations with him about punt returning, I'm like, all right, I can catch a punt. And then when I get it, I see the field, and it always looks like nobody's blocking for me. And so I get tackled right away, which is why I ended up not punt returning. But every time he got it, the entire stadium stood up. And they're like, oh, he can take it back on this one. Like, they just knew that he had this innate ability to just find the crease and hit it. And I said, well, how are you doing this, man? Because I see the same thing that you say. I'm watching the same film. He said, no matter what, he said, there's always a crease. He said, there's always a crease. He said, sometimes the opening is this big. He said, sometimes the opening is this big. He said, but no matter how big the opening or where it comes from or what side it's on or whatever it may be, if you just hit that thing as fast as you can, eventually you'll break through it. Eventually you'll break through it. And it's the same thing with our lives and when we're ministering to the people around us. There's always an opening. The majority of it, let me try it. OH! Most people know how to do that. Everybody around this world, people take pictures in Afghanistan, fighters, military, doing OHIO, right? Everybody knows that call. It's universal. So if you can have a conversation about the Buckeyes winning a national title for 50 minutes with one person, go to the break room, have another 25-minute conversation about us beating Oregon, then turn around and have another 15-minute conversation about who's going to be the starting quarterback, you're telling me that you don't have 2 minutes, just two, maybe one, maybe 30 seconds to just say, hey, what church do you go to? Has anybody ever talked to you about eternal life? I'm nervous about it. I don't want to do that. I might offend somebody. Well, it's offending me that you would be offended to share what we're doing here today. Amen. I mean, we are believers. We are Christians, right? Could you imagine Cardale Jones getting out there, taking a snap, and just taking a sack? You're like, why didn't he throw the ball? And he takes another one, second down. He throw the ball, and he just takes a sack. They call a timeout. Cardale, what's going on? I don't know, coach. Third down, takes another sack. Why is the quarterback not throwing the ball? That's what he's supposed to do. Why are the believers not sharing the love of Christ? That's what we're supposed to do. Why are we not living the way that we're supposed to be living? That's what we're supposed to do. So how is it that we could demand everything on the outside to do what they're supposed to do? These chairs are supposed to keep you held up, right? You would be upset if that chair broke down. Could it be that God's offended? Could it be that God's heartbroken? Could it be that he's pulling on us to just share, but we're not doing what we've been called to do? Could it be that he gave us some instructions and told us what we're here for, and we decided to take his word and say, you know what, these are great instructions, and I need to go through this thing. I'm going to find 5 or 6 of my favorite scriptures, and I'm going to make those things fit the life that I want for me. Not what life you want for you. I want this type of life, so I'm going to take this word, and I'm going to put me a scripture down. I'm going to memorize some things, and I'm going to lean on it. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength, who strengthens me. That's everybody's favorite verse. But what things is he going to give you the strength to do? What are the things that we're talking about? I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. What things? The things that you want to do? You ever wonder why you keep leaning on that verse and praying that verse and nothing ever works? Apparently, the things that you want to get accomplished aren't the things that he wants to give you strength to do. Could it be that we've taken that verse and turned it into what we want? That's not following instructions. See, at Ohio State, you get a playbook, you learn plays. In the NFL, you get a playbook, you learn plays. You get some plays, a thick book of them. As a matter of fact, when you don't have your playbook in the NFL, you get fined for not having it. If you lose it, it's $5,000. Five large for losing a book. $5,000. The instruction manual was going to take this team to the next level no matter what position you play. The NFL fines you $5,000 because it's so important for you to have that book. Super Bowl tonight. Wait till you see some people out of position. You will get fired in the NFL for not doing what you're supposed to do and following instructions. Lose your job. This instruction manual right here, your playbook, what I like to call it, right here. Does everybody have a Bible? Maybe not. Everybody has a tablet, though. Everybody has a smartphone. I'll tell you like I told the group last night, get you, not necessarily a tablet, go to the Christian bookstore and buy a Bible. All right. Well, I don't know how to read it. They have about 35 different translations, if not more. You can find one that you can understand. All right. They even have a Spanish Bible if you like watching Spanish TV. Some people like doing that. All right. You can get a Spanish Bible. You can get a Bible in French, Chinese. All right. They even have a Bible in the inner city of Columbus for just black people. I mean, they got Bibles for everything. Right. That was a joke. It flew right over your head. It's not really a Bible just for black people. My goodness. Somebody wrote it down. I'm going to Google that. I'm going to see what it says in that one. Following instructions. I'm going to open this up. That was just my opening. I don't know where that came. This is the Holy Spirit, man. That's not in my notes, but here, this is what I want to talk about today, all right? I want to talk about following instructions, obviously. I want you to write this down, okay? God's purpose and his purposes. God's purpose, his purposes are not subject to your plans, all right? God's purposes are not subject to your plans, okay? Keep that in mind. We make plans every day. I'm going to come to church. I'm going to do here, go here at this time. This is what I'm going to do with my life. 99% of the decisions we make are based on what we want to do. Do we consult with the Father before we pick up? I know a couple that adopts kids, but it takes faith to obviously adopt children. You have to hear from the Father. But I also know people that will adopt kids just because of the financial benefits from it. All right? The plans that we make need to line up with what he wants to do. All right? I know most of you here are married, but if you're not married and you're thinking about dating somebody or whatever it may be, talk to the Father first, all right? Talk to him first. But his purposes for your life are not subject to what you want to do, all right? But we're gonna go, our text today is going to be in the book of Matthew. It's Matthew 14, 22 through 36. I'm going to read through this. It's a little bit lengthy, but bear with me, okay? But it's very, very important. And as I go, I'm just going to give you a couple points. Every once in a while, I'll have you write something down because I think it's important for you to get some of these notes up here, all right? Now, I won't refer to this thing often, but I need you to hear this. So Matthew 14, 22 through 36 is a very famous passage, and it's dealing with Peter getting out of the boat and walking on water. Jesus had just fed over 10,000 or so. It said 5,000 men, not including the women and children. So you can assume that a lot of those men were married and a lot of them had children. So it was probably anywhere from 10 to 15, maybe more than that if you had five or six kids, or maybe 20,000 people. All right, and he just performed a miracle. All right, two fish, five loaves of bread, fed everybody. Nobody had to pay for anything. They had extra. It said they ate as much as they wanted to, and there were leftovers. So he just performed this miracle, utilizing his disciples, all right, to minister to the people, to pass out the food, to get people taken care of. So everybody's worn out and everybody's tired. If you've ever been a part of a big event with this ministry, or if you're serving right now in this church, you understand how much work it takes to get this taken care of on a weekly basis. So you get worn out from time to time. So you need a break. Everybody needs a break. That's why most employers give you 2 weeks or 3 weeks of vacation time that you can take and still get paid, that type of thing. They understand that you can wear out. Well, Jesus understood his disciples were worn out, so he said, you know what? I'm going to take care of these people. All right, I'm going to take care of these people. You guys get back in the boat. You guys go to the other side. I need you to go to another city. You guys start on your journey. I'll meet you there. They didn't know how Jesus was going to get there. Nobody did. It didn't matter. He's Jesus. So they say, get back in the boat. I'll handle this. I'll dismiss the people. I'll do the cleanup. You guys go ahead of me. All right? And this is where it picks up. It says, immediately after this, Jesus insisted that his disciples get back into the boat. Again, we're in Matthew 14, 22. Moving forward. Get back into the boat and cross to the other side of the lake. While he sent the people home after sending them home, he went up into the hills by himself to pray. Night fell while he was there alone. Meanwhile, the disciples were in trouble far away from the land, for a strong wind had risen, and they were fighting heavy waves. I want you guys to underline in your Bibles or keep in mind that Jesus sent the people home. Sometimes you just got to send people away. Sometimes you just got to separate yourself from people and find a good spot to pray, like he did. You just got to find a good spot to talk to the Father in heaven. It's a lot of voices that you guys hear on a daily basis. Radio, TV, social media, your friends, family members that don't come to church, that don't understand why you're so committed to this ministry. There's a lot of voices that you're hearing every day. And sometimes you just have to dismiss people. Get people away from you. Even the people closest to you, just go ahead and go, I need some time with the Father. All right. But it says his disciples got in trouble for a wind had arisen and they were fighting heavy waves in this boat. All right. About 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came toward them walking on the water. Supernatural. Awesome. When the disciples saw him walking on the water, they were terrified. In their fear, they cried out, it's a ghost. But Jesus spoke to them at once. Don't be afraid, he said. Take courage. I'm here. Then Peter called to him. Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you walking on the water. Now, here's where we see challenge coming in our lives, right? So there's a challenge. We're going through something up and down, waves up and down. Good day, bad day. I was happy 5 minutes ago. Now I'm sad. Now I'm upset. Now I'm angry. And then I was rooting for the Seahawks and the Patriots won. And then I was rooting for Ohio State. Then we lost Braxton Miller. And then the season's over. But then we got JT Barry. Oh, then he got hurt. Now the season's over. Oh, we got Cardale Jones. We won the national title. I'm happy about it. But now I got to figure out who's the starting quarterbacks. Now I'm sad again. Just up and down. Wavy, right? I thought I met the love of my life. We got married. And then something happened. And then finance hit. Then I got fired. Then we got a divorce. And then I'm feeling bad about it. And then I'm angry. And then I gained 50 pounds. And then I don't look how I used to look. And now, then I got a new job. But then I was happy. And then I found out that my boss really didn't like me. And then all of a sudden, I quit there. And now I'm drinking. Just up and down. Wavy. But then right when they got scared and got nervous, Jesus is right there. I'm here for you. Take courage, do not be afraid. As a matter of fact, they called him a ghost, so they didn't even recognize him. But since they didn't recognize him walking on the water, he said, you know what, that might be too much of a miracle, too soon. All right, how about I just speak to you since you've been around me for the last X amount of days? So I'm going to speak to you so you'll recognize my voice. But then Peter said, love Peter. Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you walking on the water. It sounds so familiar because the Lord, if it's really you, if you flip back over, you don't have to do it now, but if you flip back over to Matthew 1, all right, when Jesus is starting his ministry and he's getting tempted by the devil in the wilderness, right? The devil comes to him and Satan says, if you're really the Son of God, take these stones, right, and make them bread. And it goes on and gives a couple more examples. Then Peter does the same exact thing. If you are who you say you are, tell me to come out the boat. So it says, the Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you walking on the water. Lord, if it's really you, give me what I want, is what he's saying. If it's really you, give me what I want right now, right? I'll tell you this from experience. You really don't want God to give you what you want when you want it, ever. Like, as soon as you get the idea that you want to be a millionaire, you just might as well put that on the shelf of things that's not going to happen today. Right? Because there's something that needs to be developed in you before God can get you what you want. Starting with the fact that, does what you want line up with what he wants for you or wants you to do? Everybody's not supposed to be a millionaire because everybody can't handle being a millionaire. Oh, I could handle it if I had $1 million. It's amazing to me what people, how people talk about athletes. They make so much money. How'd they go broke? How, if I had $1 million, this is what I would do with it. You don't know what you would do with $1 million. You can't put it in the bank. Where are you going to put it? The bank only insures up to $250,000. What are you going to do with the other $750,000? Well, I can spread it out and put it in 17 different banks. So you're going to have 17 different checking accounts. And you're going to be the accountant for all those 17 different accounts. Well, are you going to give some money to your parents? Are you going to pay off that nursing home bill? Are you going to buy yourself a new house? Are you going to buy your kids anything? Are you going to pay for your kids' college? You can go through $1 million like that. But we sit and judge these people. Well, I want to be a millionaire. I know what to do with the money. I'd feed everybody over in Africa. But then you wouldn't have any more money, and then you'd be in the same situation you're in today. So a lot of us don't know what we would do. But the things that you want right now, God's saying, I really want to give it to you, but if I give it to you right now, you won't know how to handle it. Even for healing. I want to be healed right now. I'm not saying that God can't do it, because he can. But the people that he heals instantly are the people that can handle it. And as soon as you watch in the Bible, as soon as people got healed, they went out and told everybody. See, we'll get healed and tell the people in our church. And after about 2 or 3 weeks, you'll forget that God healed you. And you'll go back to living the life that you were living before you got healed. It'll die down. It's just like the national title. We're happy about it right now. But wait till spring ball starts. We're already thinking, what's going to happen next? Forget what happened last year. What are we doing this year? Signing day for recruits are next Thursday or this Thursday. Who are we bringing in to win the national title 4 years from now? Didn't we just win? So a lot of times you don't really want God to give you what you want when you want it, all right? But Jesus can't deny himself, so he told Peter, he said, yes, come. Come on out, Jesus said. So Peter went over the side. You know, Jesus can't say, well, it is me. Well, it's not me, so stay in the boat. He said, it's me, all right? But notice they didn't recognize him. They didn't see him around them. As much time as you spend in church, as much time as you spend in your Bible, as much time as you spend listening to Christian music, all right? As much time as you do that, you don't know and recognize him and the people around you. And you don't even know his voice when you're making decisions. We're just like Peter was and the rest of the disciples. He said, yes, come. So Peter went over the side of the boat and walked on the water towards Jesus. My goodness, that's a miracle. A regular person like me and you. Jesus said, step on out. Let me try it real quick. No, I'm not stepping off this thing. That's when I hurt my ankle. But anyway, he got out the boat and he's walking on water. Boom. 2, 3 steps. Maybe it's 5 steps. Maybe it's 10 steps. I don't know. But he walked on water. You ever try and walk on water? I hope you had a bathing suit when you tried, right? Man of faith. We talk about how great that is. And we take this scripture and we make it, oh, he's a man of faith, which he is. Great boldness. He called out to Jesus. He talked to Jesus more than any other disciples. He talked with boldness and conviction. Jesus, if it's really you, tell me to come out this boat. That's how he was talking to him. They're in the middle of a storm. It wasn't, hey, Jesus, by the way. So these waves is going on right now. Let's just pause these. If it's really you, let me just come up on this boat. Now come out the boat. Jesus, look, Jesus. Man, if it's really you, let me come out the boat, is how he talked to him. He's scared. He's in fear. All right? Jesus said, all right, yes, come. Come. Come on out. So he walked a couple steps, right? And we say, all right, that's it. That's it. I got to step out on faith. Whether it's a job, family members, relationship, I got to really step out on faith. Trusting your pastor, I really have to step out on faith. Financial investments, I have to step out on faith. And you do. All right? But let's see what happens. So Peter went over the side of the boat, and then he walked on the water towards Jesus. And if you're reading with me, when he saw the strong wind and the waves, he was terrified and began to sink. He was terrified. So he's walking on water. He sees the wind and the waves, and he begins to sink. I've been in some storms before. Have you ever seen the wind before? Anybody ever seen the wind? Nobody? I'm asking. Okay. I'm glad that you agreed with me because I've never seen the wind, ever in my life. I saw the impact of the wind. I saw what the wind can do to things. I've seen things blowing in the wind, but I've never physically seen like the wind. You can draw it in cartoons, but I've never seen the wind. So how much fear and how messed up was Peter's thinking that he actually saw the wind? Can you see the air right now? He actually saw the wind, which lets me know that he was in so much fear that he was delusional. He saw the wind, but didn't recognize Jesus and thought Jesus was a ghost. How can you see the wind, but not recognize your Savior? How is it possible? How messed up is your mind and how fearful and how not trusting are you to be able to see the wind? All right. But anyway, I don't believe that the waves caused him to sink. It was seeing the wind. It was actually seeing the wind. Because it tells you a lot about Peter's thinking. And it tells you a lot about where he was. See, God's always moving. So Jesus can walk on water. He can do it. He's always moving. But Peter was comfortable standing still. See, God's always moving. You can't get comfortable standing still. Like, you can't sink. As long as he was walking, he was good. But he started to sink when he saw the wind and saw the waves, which probably means he stopped. And that's usually where the scripture ends, and that's where we stop and we say, okay, well, just don't stop where you are. God's always moving. You'll be fine, and so forth and so on. But it goes so much further than that, because if you keep on reading, when Peter sank, it says, "Save me, Lord," he shouted. Anybody ever felt like Peter did in that moment? Like, just save me. Like, I have no idea what to do. I am lost. I'm an idiot. I messed it up. You told me to do this. I didn't. I need you to correct it. Please help me. Like, I have no idea what I'm doing. I'm lost. And if you have never felt that way, you will continue to be in your situation. All right? Because Jesus can't do what he says here. It says Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed him. He can't reach out and grab you until you say, "Save me." Until you get into a position where he can actually lift you up. Until you get in the position where you're not in control. You ever been driving like it is on a day like today where it's slippery and just a little tilt in your wheel, you're like, oh. Or you hit a curb the wrong way, you're like, oh, Jesus, you know, help me, right? When you're not in control. You ever been on the elevator and it kind of stops too fast and you're like, all right, let me get off this thing. Or in an airplane, positions where just a little turbulence and you're like, all the prayers in the world, you never pray in your life, but all of a sudden you see people all around the plane praying and everything just to get you through. But he says, "Save me, Lord." And Jesus grabbed him immediately. "You have so little faith," Jesus said. "Why did you doubt me?" And most people think that since Peter was walking on the water, the doubt came when he saw the situation, the circumstances, the difficulties, the wind, the waves, whatever it may be in your life. And Jesus said, "Why did you doubt me?" But Jesus wasn't talking about you were just walking on water. He could have had any of those guys walking on water. He could have did that. He was saying, "Why did you doubt my original instructions?" See, the original instructions were get in the boat and go to the other side. I need you to go over there. The original instructions never included get out the boat when you see me and come walking towards me just so you can be convinced that it really is me. He gave instructions and said, "Go do this. Go do this. Take care of what I told you to do." But Peter decided when it got difficult, when it got challenging, when it got out of his control, that I need some proof that you really are who you say you are. I know I'm guilty of it. I know I've been in positions in the past where I'm like, "Lord, if it's you, make this happen. Lord, if it's you, stop me from drinking. Stop me from smoking. I'm not married yet, but being in the NFL, you get around a lot of women. If it's really you, Lord, tell the girls to stop talking to me." Are you kidding me? If it's really you, not in position of surrender, not in position of, "Lord, save me," not in position of, "Lord, I'm out of control and I need you to tell me exactly what to do." The original instructions, just go to the other side. So, I want you guys to write this down. All right. God can't move in your life until you can. How awesome is that? God cannot move in your life until you can. As long as you are in control, it's going to be very difficult for our Father to do what he wants to do in your life if you have control. A few steps on water is wasted time. A few steps on water is wasted time. Your new business, right? When you step out on faith and you walked a little bit and had your 15 seconds of fame, a little bit of success. Then all of a sudden, you went from walking on water and you start sinking just a little bit. Right here, it's not that bad. It's like being on the beach and getting your feet wet. But you keep on going, doing what you want to do, not consulting with the Father, not listening to his Spirit, and you keep sinking. But if you're on the beach and the water's warm, it feels kind of good, actually. Keep on going. Keep sinking. Till you get to the point, you're waist high. And if you try and run in water, maybe in your swimming pool is okay to be waist high, but when you are in the world, it's not a swimming pool, luxury situation in the back of your house. See, when you get out in the water, in the deep, in the world, you will drown, right? You will drown. But God never told you to start that business. God never told you to marry that woman or marry that man. You did because you wanted, your best friends got married, so you wanted to get married. God never told you that at 21 you're supposed to start drinking. The world told you that. So you had one beer, and it started out as one beer, but now 17 years later, 50 years later, you can't stop drinking the beer. Matter of fact, you've convinced yourself that it's okay to have a glass of wine or two or three or a beer or two or three as long as I'm getting drunk in the confines of my house and I'm not hurting anybody. We've come up with all these excuses. I've lived this long smoking cigarettes or the young people smoking marijuana or I've lived this long not giving to the church. I still got money coming in, and I don't give anything to the offering bucket, even though the Word of God says that I should help build this house. We've come up with excuses to do what we want to do. And every single time something goes wrong in our life, we blame him. But what was his original instructions to you? What did he tell you to do? When you got saved and became a Christian, you told everybody. You invited everybody to church. You got shut down by 90% of them, which discouraged you, and you stopped talking about it. So now the only people that you talk about Christ to are the people that are Christians that you know of. But what was the original instructions? I don't have a purpose. Your purpose is building the kingdom of God here. Everywhere in the Bible, every once in a while, but everywhere in the Bible, God, the only time God does something is through a man. Look all the way through. He does it through a man. Well, God flooded the earth. Well, he needed a man and Noah to make an example of what you're supposed to do when you're following instructions. Every time he wants to do something, he uses a man or a woman. What do you think you're here for? It's not to watch the Buckeyes. You're here to take the kingdom of God to the next level. I said recruiting day, sign of day is on Thursday. When people are born into the Spirit, so to speak, and receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior, they're the new recruiting class of the kingdom of God to do something that somebody else couldn't do. And so all of a sudden we get into the body of Christ and we start doing what we want to do because we think we got this insurance policy and Jesus behind us. No matter what I do, I'm saved. He's forgiven me already. It's not even so much, Lord, forgive me for what I did. You just have to receive your forgiveness because he said it's already done. It's already finished. So you're already forgiven for the things that you've done, the things that you did today, and the things that you will do. It's already taken care of. So it's like it's a good deal. It's the grace message. Well, I can do whatever I want, and I'm okay. Jesus will be there to save me if I say save me. He loves you, and he loved Peter so much that he didn't let Peter die when he could have. See, Jesus could have raised him from the dead. He could have just said, all right, man, you should step out the boat. You need to learn. He could have said the same thing to you. You stepped out the boat and did exactly what you wanted to do. You got your results. Now you're unhappy with them. Now you're in fear. Now you're trembling. Now you're losing your home. Now you just got fired from work, right? You don't talk to your son or you don't talk to your daughter. You can't see your grandkids because you have a strained relationship with one of their parents. And we did all of that ourselves because we stepped out of the boat. See, as much of a great man of faith that Peter was, he was one of the most disobedient disciples in the entire Bible. It was pure disobedience, him getting outside of the boat. It did prove that he could walk on water, but that didn't need to be proved. All he had to do was ask Jesus, "Jesus, by the way, I saw you walking to us on water. Can you teach us that trick? Can you show us how to do it? Can you show me how to do what you're doing? Can you show me how to feed 15,000 people with 2 fish and 5 loaves? He could have asked the question, and Jesus would have said, "I'm going to show you exactly how to do this." It's no different from, "Pastor, you know what? It's something in my spirit. I feel like I want to minister. I want to lead the people of God. I want to teach." And as soon as he says, "Well, you know what? Just study under me for a couple years, 3-4, and maybe one day we'll figure out a situation where you can," 3 years? I want to do it now. So you go on the internet, Twitter, and Facebook, and you start putting up scriptures. The next thing you know, you're quoting things, and they're telling pastor, "I got to leave because I'm starting a church. Over at the school, they gave me a little classroom, so I'm going to start my own ministry, sir." Stepping out of the boat. All right? We'll move forward. You know, as I close, I know my time is winding down here. When they climbed back into the boat, the wind stopped. My goodness, are you kidding me? You mean as soon as I got back in the boat, the wind stopped? As soon as I got back in position with Jesus, it stopped. As soon as I got back in position with this ministry, it stopped. As soon as I stopped talking about the pastor and how short he is, it stopped. As soon as I stopped talking about the plants in Pastor Gary's office, it stopped. Right? As soon as I stopped talking about my boss and my coworkers, it stopped. As soon as I stopped talking about my wife and my husband to my friends, it stopped. As soon as I got back in position in the boat, it stopped. "You really are the Son of God," they exclaimed. Then the disciples worshiped him. Then they worshiped. They needed one of their fellow mates to almost die. They needed to go through a tragedy. They needed to go through a challenge. They had to keep drinking and keep telling themselves that "I'm okay" and almost kill somebody. They needed to go to jail. They needed to get caught cheating on their wives. Before they are like, "Okay, if you save me from this, you got me." They needed to go through hell, so to speak, literally, before they worshiped our Father. Now, I'm going to tell you a couple things about worship. That last song we sung, "I Surrender," the international signal for "I Surrender" is hands up, hands raised. Now, we had about 20% of the church hands raised, hands up. When else outside in this world can you do this? When else can you give yourself away to our Father? And just because you're reading off of the screen and know these words does not mean that you have surrendered. "Well, I don't really want to raise my hands." That's not for everybody. That's only for the super spiritual people and the people that sit in the front row. "Excuses are the crutches of the uncommitted." Could you say that that's an excuse? Would you agree that that's an excuse? Would you agree that if you just raise your hand, what if that's getting you back in position? "Well, I don't want to raise my hands because I don't know what the people behind me are going to think, and I don't know what the people in front of me are going to think, and I don't know. I've never raised my hands before." You're lying to me. You ever been to an Ohio State game? You ever posed in a picture and, "Oh, I want to be the O. I'm going to skip the H. I want to be the I. I want to be the last O. Okay. I'll be the H." Does it look familiar? Does this look familiar? You've never lifted your hands to do an O-H-I-O. You've never seen anybody do it and say, "Oh, that's a really good picture. They did the O-H-I-O on the mountain. Look at those guys." If you could raise your hands to the Buckeyes, you telling me you can't get in the house of the Father and raise your hand for 5 minutes? "Well, my shoulders hurt." All right, so put them down and go like this. And then put them back up. "I don't know how to worship." You can worship like this. I think worshiping is receiving. See, you won't receive anything from God until you're worshiping. Like, a good receiver has an awesome catch radius. Well, what does that mean? It means when you stick your hand out like this, where can you catch the football when it's thrown to you? Where can you catch? Where can you catch? Can you catch low balls? Or can you only catch balls that are right in front of you, right where you can see them? Catch radius. You know, a lot of things that you believe in God for are up here. He's like this. He's the best quarterback. He's way better than Cardale Jones. Trust me. He's back there. He's like, "Oh, you calling for it." okay, boom. And you're like, oh, that was too high. Got nothing for you, Lord. God, why would you throw it that high? You know I can't catch that high. And he's saying, all you got to do is jump and extend your arms. Boom. I mean, you can't catch. You got to catch radius. Don't ever come in this church and not get those hands up. Ever. Ever. Don't care. The fact that you care that people are watching you or you feel uncomfortable further lets you know that that's exactly where you should be. How uncomfortable was Peter and the disciples in the boat? Stepping out of the boat can be just as little as I'm not putting my hands up. Could you imagine if the H section or the I section in the horseshoe, when they're going OHL around, they just decided not to say anything? I'm not raising my hand today. I'm not doing it. I'm mad that they're not starting Braxton this year. This whole section, we're not raising our hands. You're not in unity anymore. So every time that five or six individuals in here praise and worship, you should be doing what this man's doing. Whatever he does, you do. Whatever he does, you do. His hands are up, your hands are up. You want to live in life of peace like pastor? Have nice, comfortable leather couches in your office like pastor? Well, you can't even lift your hands up, so you don't deserve those leather couches. I want you to understand, and I'm not negating Peter. I love Peter. He's awesome. He's aggressive. You know, the best security that Jesus had. But understand, he was a man of faith and taught us that we could walk on water, but it was not necessary. He did not have to walk on water and almost die for the Lord to give him what he needed and what he desired. I'm going to keep on reading as I close. I got about two more minutes left. All right, five more or so. All right. It says, they worshiped and said, you really are the Son of God. All right. I wrote this down. Write this down. Don't let losing everything be the reason why you live in Christ. That's what Peter did. Don't let getting all the way to the bottom be the reason that, all right, you live in Christ. And don't allow just a miracle and almost dying or almost losing your wife or almost crashing or almost, you know, losing your relationship with your kids be the reason that you come to Christ. He's already giving you instructions. You're in the body. All you have to do is follow what he says. At the end of the scripture, it says, after they had crossed the lake, they landed at the land on the other side. It says, when the people recognized Jesus, as soon as he got off the boat, the people that weren't even believers recognized him. His disciples next to him didn't even recognize him walking on the water, and that was supernatural, but this is a man they had never met before. He got off the boat, they recognized him. That's Jesus. We had heard about him. We don't need to see a miracle. I don't need to see him saving me immediately. I recognize Jesus. The news of his arrival spread quickly throughout the whole area. They heard. And soon people were bringing all their sick to be healed. They begged him to let the sick touch at least the fringe of his robe, and all who touched him were healed. These are people that didn't even know him, didn't walk with him. They weren't in church every day like this on Sundays and had a great pastor and great leaders that can give information to you and knowledge and wisdom and advice that could teach you how to really study, how to receive, and not just go what's on the pages of the Bible. We got good men and women of God here in this church that are willing to do whatever it takes to get you to the next level. But you have to do what he told you to do originally. See, those people that didn't even really believe in Jesus went and told everybody that Jesus was here, because I heard that when he shows up, things change. When Jesus shows up, oh, who knows what's going to happen? Aren't we sick and tired of coming to the same traditional mindset of church where I come in, I sit down on the same row, pastor gives some great notes, pours his heart out, we give one hallelujah, one amen, we shake some hands, and then we leave. Aren't you sick of the regular, just natural old church? And we're expecting pastor to be the one to change it. Well, maybe if he has more energy, or maybe if he gets fired up and yells like this, it'll fire some people up. It's not going to happen. It's not his personality. It's not what God told him to do. It's not how God told him to talk. Well, maybe if he preached like Joel Osteen, we could get 5,000 people in here. It's not going to happen. It's not his mission. It's not his purpose. Well, maybe if we got different colors, it would lighten it up, and then the younger people would come, and then it would change things. It's not going to happen. It's going to start with you. See, locate yourself. What are you doing to build this ministry? What are you doing to fill these chairs? What are you sacrificing to make sure you're walking the way that you're supposed to outside this church? How many times have you walked on water by yourself and ended up, Lord, save me, while you're at home? And nobody in here even knows. You're drowning and nobody can help you because you're not connected here. It's about your agenda. You want to be Peter. All right? You got to get connected. Your purpose is to share the gospel. How am I going to share the gospel? I don't know how to preach. You need to preach. Just take the notes that this man has given you and share them with somebody. Type them. Do something. I bet you you'll talk about the Super Bowl. I bet you you'll talk about your bills. I bet you you'll tell people, and you know, well, my knee is messed up, or the doctor said I had cancer. You'll tell people about all these different things. We're praying the problem all the time. Start praying the solution. How about that? Stop praying the problem and pray the solution. Lord, I have cancer. He knows you have cancer. What did he say in the Bible? By his stripes we're what? Healed? I think that's what it says. I know that's what it says. I believe that's what it says. I think that's what it says. So I feel that's what it says. So my actions will be based on what I'm feeling. And because of that, I'm going to build habits in the spirit based on what I was thinking and what I'm feeling about what I know. So my healing will come once all of that stuff happens. But it's not going to come by praying the problem and telling everybody about it. Tell people about the solution. God's going to heal me. And if he doesn't heal me, even if I die, there's going to be 50 people that get saved because of the way I live my life. So, just in short and in closing, I guess, understand that Peter was a great man of faith, and that's absolutely awesome. And I love the fact that he was bold and talked to the Father and talked to Jesus with boldness, which you should too. Talk to him like your friend. He is your friend. That's what the Bible says. But he was disobedient. Everybody else stayed in the boat. Peter was the only one that had a problem. This whole church made a statement last night. The Spirit gave it to me. This is your boat. This is where you're supposed to be. You need to figure out where you can serve, where you can help take this ministry to the next level. You can sing, dance, draw. You're good on social media. You're good with internet and all that stuff. Figure it out and figure out how you can plug in. Don't leave the church because you're mad at pastor or you're mad at the associate pastor or somebody didn't talk to you or nobody invited you to the group or what. You're supposed to be in this boat. It's not full yet. So when it gets tight, then you can say, okay, we need to take another boat and have another service some another time. But you're still in the same boat. But as soon as you get angry, as soon as you make an excuse not to come to church, well, the snow's coming down, I'm not coming out. Are you telling me, I know it's somebody that's supposed to be here, that was supposed to hear something that I said that they didn't get that could have changed their life, and they missed it because they didn't want to get in the boat. They decided not to get in the boat. So I thank you all for your time. As Pastor stated earlier, you know, my Driven Foundation is part of my purpose, and that's just to impact the people that can't necessarily help themselves at that moment, all right, to give some hope to some people. And over the last 5 years, I need to update our board back there, but we've been able to distribute over $500,000 of free food to Central Ohio families. We work with, thank you. We work with kids being released from Children's Hospital and throw birthday parties for them and their family and classmates to help them get reacclimated to being a kid again. Mentorship programs through the Wazoo with other former Buckeyes as well. We do charity basketball games around the state of Ohio, raising money for churches and schools, districts, and other nonprofit organizations. All right. And one of the best ways to utilize what God is doing with me is allowing me to be here on Sundays like this and share around the state of Ohio as well. This church actually was a part of and took part of our food outreach this year. Donating items and different things, so it was absolutely a blessing for you guys. You guys didn't even know it. That offering bucket comes around, you're like, I'm just throwing it, but you just never know. We just talked about Africa and missions and different things. You just never know how far what God has blessed you with can go. You guys didn't even know you were impacting the Driven Foundation. All right, but from his heart. From his heart, okay? So don't get tight when it comes to serving. Or, you know, pastor asked me to sweep the floor. Sweep the floor? I've been here for 20 years. I mean, just sweep the floor. He swept it last week, and he's the pastor. All right? So the Driven Foundation is doing some great things. I'll be in the back signing some autographs. I already got a couple from some young kids. They found me. Like, give me your autograph. I say, okay, yes, sir. Absolutely. You're only six, but I'm saying, yes, sir. You got me. All right? Talking to me with boldness. I'll be in the back. Autographs are $10, and every $10 goes to, no, I'm just teasing. No, but we'll be in the back raising some money for Driven, so I appreciate your time, and God bless. Pastor? Amen.
We're going to close out. What I really felt Roy was saying was that follow the instructions. Follow the original instructions. So I'm just going to have you bow your head. We're going to pray, and we're going to sing that song, I Surrender, again. And we're just going to ask you, as you sing this song, I Surrender, a second time, that you surrender. That you say to God, that you surrender to say, God, I want to follow the instructions that you've given me. How many of you guys would say, just raise your hand. Here's your only little invitation for today. Raise your hand and say, you know what, right now, in some place in my life, in one area of my life, I'll be honest enough to admit I'm not following the instructions that God gave me. Just raise your hand. Just admit that. Just go ahead and admit it. I'm not even looking. My eyes are closed. Your eyes are closed. I'm not looking at you. Now's your time in this song is to sing and to say to God, I surrender. If you want to come to the altar and kneel and sing it, that's fine. You want to stay in your seat, stand up, whatever you want to do. Just sing this song from your heart that you surrender. Father, we thank you so much for today. We thank you for Roy coming and just sharing from his heart. And God, we just pray, this is our prayer, that we could surrender to your instructions, not our new instructions, that we wouldn't take scripture and mold it to fit our purpose, but that we'd follow, God, the instructions that you gave us, that we all have a purpose. So, Father, work in this time as we surrender to you.